Daniel chapter 6 is where we're going to be focusing our attention today. We have 1 week this morning between communion last week and the baptism next week. And I had planned to bring this message a couple of weeks ago when the young people started back to school, but because the previous series went just a little bit longer, I had to put it off till today. The message this morning from Daniel 6 is one that I primarily want to present to our students today, to our young people. We're back at the beginning of the school year. You guys are back in the swing of things, kind of finding the routine again, and back in that whole flow. And I want to share some things with you from the life of Daniel today that I really pray will be a great encouragement to you as a young person. But let me also let you know that this message today is not just for young people. Everybody who's here is going to be able to learn something from the incredible life of this man, Daniel. And I've entitled the message today, Standing for God in an Ungodly Culture. Standing for God in an Ungodly Culture. Imagine what it would be like. Now, I know here in the good old USA, this is just impossible for us to conceive right now. But imagine what it would be like to wake up tomorrow morning and open the newspaper and see the headlines or turn on the news and hear the news that prayer and worship had been outlawed. And not only had it been outlawed, but it carried with it the death penalty. Now, you know, we as Americans can't even fathom such a thing taking place. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't even really submerge myself into that kind of thought because it's so far-fetched from what we've always known. But imagine waking up tomorrow and finding out that our government has gone insane and they have outlawed the worship of God. And they've said that anybody who is caught praying to God or worshiping God will be put to death. Wonder what kind of a difference that would make in our schedule for the coming week. Daniel was a young man who lived in Judah. And when Daniel was very young, his country was invaded by an enemy. Who took Daniel and many others captive and took them all the way back to Babylon, a place where God was never mentioned, a pagan culture where false idols were worshipped. And Daniel, as a young man, suddenly found himself. I mean, he woke up that morning, it was just another day. God permeated the culture where he lived. The worship of God permeated the culture where he lived. And before that day was over, Daniel found himself being carted off many, many miles away to Babylon and forced to live there in a pagan culture. I want to tell you something that is a very powerful truth to me as I read this book of Daniel, and we'll see this as we get into the message today. Daniel did not allow the ungodly culture to influence him. He influenced the ungodly culture. That's an amazing statement. One man. There were others who stood for God, but Daniel primarily was such a man of God, such strong character, that he influenced an entire culture. And you know, as I read the story of Daniel, I see that this guy had an incredible perspective on the sovereignty of God over his life. Daniel now finds himself thrust into this pagan culture away from his homeland, and instead of getting bitter, instead of getting angry at God, Daniel simply looks at the situation and says, well, guess what? This is apparently where God wants me to be right now in my life. So I am going to continue to serve him faithfully and do the things that I have always done when I was at home in my homeland. I'm just going to keep on following God and keep on being faithful to him. And we see how this paid off in Daniel's life, because these unbelievers had apparently never seen anything like this guy Daniel. He lived such a life of integrity in front of these people. He had such godly wisdom. He carried himself with such character that he caught the attention of all the kings who came along. And Daniel lived a long time in this culture. And all the kings who came along kept looking at this guy Daniel going, man, there's something special about this guy. And they kept promoting him and promoting him and promoting him. Until, if you fast forward many, many years later in Daniel's life, you get to the very end of chapter 5 in Daniel, it actually tells us that Daniel had been promoted to the third highest in the kingdom. Such was his character, such was his integrity, that even ungodly people recognized something in his life and they honored him for it. But now in Daniel chapter 6, even past the point where he's promoted to the third highest in the kingdom, join me looking at verse 3 of chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 3, it says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps, that's the princes, he so distinguished himself by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Now, Daniel is at a point in his life where he's going from the third highest in the land, and he's going to be set over the whole kingdom with nobody above him except the king himself. And these guys who work with Daniel heard this news, and they became furious. They said, what is the deal with this guy, Daniel? I mean, he's a foreigner. And he comes in here, and he has just flown up through the ranks, and now the king is about to make him our boss? They got together and said, I don't think so. We have got to stop this plan dead in its tracks. Look what they did in verse 4. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. You ever had anybody set their sights on you? You ever had anybody put you in their bullseye and come after you and try to take you down? What an incredible testimony it would be for us as believers, as young people following God, if others tried to find fault in your life and they followed you everywhere, they bugged your phone calls, they checked your emails, they overheard your conversations, and they said, we're going to get this guy, we're going to get this gal. And after about a month, they came back together and called a meeting and just kind of looked at each other and said, we got nothing. We can't find anything to pin on this guy. Well, they didn't stop there. Look at verse 5. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. They realized that Daniel was such a man of faithfulness to his God that the only way they were going to trap him is if they put him in a position where he had to choose between disobeying the king and disobeying God. Now, they weren't trying to get Daniel to disobey God. They could care less about that. They knew, these ungodly men knew, that Daniel would never disobey his God. They knew that. That's how strong Daniel's testimony was to these unbelievers. He was so faithful in serving his God that these guys had watched him for years and they'd said, you know where we can trip him up? If we put him in a position where he has to choose between obeying the king and obeying his God, we know what he's going to choose. He's going to choose to obey God. That means he'll have to disobey the king. And they began to put this devious plan together. Look in verse 6. So the administrators and the satraps went as a group. There's trouble right there. You know, cowards always move in groups, don't they? They always get a company of like-minded folks together and go cause trouble. The administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king, and they start buttering up the king. Watch this. Oh, King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So, King Darius put the decree in writing. This is not the thrust of the focus of the message this morning, but I could not read these verses without giving you a caution. Young people, listen up. As you move through your life, as you work hard, as you advance, as you achieve your dreams and your goals and attain some level of success, I know many of you will, listen very carefully. There is a danger that comes with success. The danger is that you'll start reading your own press and you'll start believing how good you are. And you'll get to a point where you will have achieved so much that you'll sit around and you'll go, boy, I must be something pretty special. And I want to urge you, young people, as you progress through life, to intentionally keep people around you who will speak the truth into your life about you. Don't surround yourself with people who will constantly flatter you. Stay close to people who have permission to tell you the truth about yourself. Because you will be blinded, you'll be deceived by your success, and after a while you'll start to believe it. These men came to the king and they buttered him up and said, oh, king, you're the greatest, you're the best thing going. And we've all got together and we've all agreed that you, king, you're the one who needs to be prayed to. You're the one who needs to be worshipped. So put a law in place, king, that anybody who prays to any other god or any other man in the next 30 days besides you will be thrown into the lion's den. And in a moment of pride and ego, King Darius said, that's a great idea. And he signed the law. And it was set. You'll see in just a moment how that came back to haunt the king. The king puts this law into place. I don't have time to go into all the details about the laws of the Medes and Persians that were mentioned here in this passage, but once the law was put into place, that was it. It was in place. Not even the king himself could get out his eraser and erase his signature off of that. It was done. Now the news goes out. Anybody who prays to anyone else besides the king will be thrown into the lion's den. How is Daniel going to respond to this? Well, look at verse 10. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he decided to take his faith privately. Whoa, is that what that says? No, are you watching with me? When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, in other words, when Daniel knew that he was going to be put to death for praying, watch what he did. He went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. If you mark in your Bibles, and I hope you do, underline that last phrase, just as he had done before. Because I personally believe that Daniel's entire life hinges on that one statement right there. Just as he had done before. Daniel knew that he was going to die if he continued to live out his faith. He found himself faced with a very grave situation, no pun intended, I guess. A very serious life or death situation. It's interesting to me, though, that Daniel didn't suddenly try to become a man of character when he was faced with a hard situation. Daniel had spent years becoming a man of character, so that when the situation arose that truly tested him, it was just another day for him, because he was already a man of character. See, the thing is, character is not so much developed in hard times as it is revealed in hard times. Did you know that? Oh, hard times help mature us. James tells us that when you go through trials of many kinds. Thank God for them because they're helping to mature you and make you complete and all of that. But the truth is, guys, character is really not so much developed in hard times as it is just simply revealed. It's sort of like an Olympic athlete laying around on the couch for 4 years eating pizza and popcorn and potato chips and drinking milkshakes, and then showing up at the Olympics thinking that his muscles are going to be toned and his skills are going to be sharp and he's going to be able to win the gold medal. You can fairly safely assume when you see an athlete standing on that middle podium having the gold medal placed around his neck, you can pretty much assume that he has spent years and years training himself and disciplining himself when all his buddies were laying on the couch eating pizza and popcorn and drinking Coke. He was the one up early in the morning running and pushing himself, pushing his body, so that when the test came, when the time for the Olympics came, he would be ready. We see this in the life of Daniel. And I love the way the Holy Spirit puts these things in the Word of God. Daniel knelt down and prayed 3 times a day right there by his open windows, just as he had done before. In fact, we see back in chapter 1 when Daniel was probably just a teenager, when he had just been taken to Babylon as a captive. We see this great phrase in Daniel 1 that says, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of that pagan culture. So very early on, many years before this incident came up, Daniel had already decided that he was going to be a man of God. Young people, I want to encourage you in something today. And I want to remind you, because I know how easy it is to not think about this or just to forget about it, that you are right now in your life in a place where for the most part you're surrounded by good influences. You have a good church you can come to and hear the Word of God and be loved by people who care about you. You have a home where your parents are godly people and try to model a Christ-like life for you and pour good things into your life. And for the most part right now, just like Daniel in his homeland in Judah, you are also surrounded by all the things of God that you could ever want. But I want to tell you that one day will come when you're no longer in your homeland, so to speak. And you're going to find yourself in a college, or you're going to find yourself in a workplace where you look around and you go, boy, we're not in Kansas anymore. I'm not in my homeland anymore. I am in an ungodly culture. And you're not going to be surrounded anymore by people who cheer you on in your faith like the people do here. You're not going to be surrounded anymore by people who share your beliefs and your values and your character. In fact, you're going to be surrounded by people who will begin to tease you and perhaps even mock you, make jokes about you, belittle you because of your faith. And they will do everything that they can to tear you down and to try to get you to become one of them. I'm going to say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But I want to encourage you folks that the time to build character in your life, young people, is not when the crisis hits. You understand what I'm saying? The time to build character in your life is now. Now, when you're in your homeland, when you're surrounded by all the things of God, the time to build character into your daily routine in your life is today, right now, when things are easy. You know, I thought about Daniel being in this position, and I thought how easy it would have been for him to have reasoned this whole thing out some other way. I mean, if you were in that position, do you think that perhaps the thought would cross your mind where you would say, you know, now let's think about this logically. I'm a lot more valuable to God alive than I am dead. I mean, what's God going to do with me if I die in the lion's den? He won't have a witness in the kingdom anymore. So, you know, the right thing to do, I mean, this is just a minor issue, really. I can pray in my heart. I mean, isn't faith kind of a private thing anyway? Daniel could have come up with a lot of excuses, and he could have kind of skirted the issue very, very smoothly and still felt like he was right with God and serving God. How easy it is for us when faced with a tough decision of standing for God or not standing for God to begin to make concessions and excuses. And I'll throw this out to you too for whatever it's worth. Daniel here was faced with death. But the trial of your faith, young people, will not always come when you are faced with hard times. Sometimes, listen to me, it's harder to stand for God when you're faced with success and opportunity. There have been many Christians who have stood firmly for God in hard times, but when an open door of success came to them, they suddenly began sort of fudging on their faith a little bit in order to help their career along, if you will. Well, you know, if I got that promotion at work and I became vice president, I would get a huge raise, and just think of all the extra tithe I could give to help out God's work. If I got that promotion, I know I have to cheat just a little bit to make it look like I really deserve it and I should have it, or I have to cut some corners here, or maybe I have to, you know, my boss wants me to do some underhanded things that I know are wrong, but just think of all the benefit that can come from my advancement. Think of how many people I could influence for God if I just got that new job. Listen, church, let me tell you something. God does not need you to cut corners to help him out. He doesn't. Daniel could have said, God, I'm no good to you, dead. So let me just sort of put my faith aside for just 30 days. I mean, come on, God, 30 days is not that long. And we'll let this thing blow over, and then I'll get this promotion, and God, you wait and see the lives I'm going to touch for you. Daniel said, nope, I am not going to compromise my faith in God and my stand for him, not even to save my life. Guys, again, this shows incredible trust on Daniel's part in the sovereignty of God. Daniel just said, look, God wanted to rip me out of my homeland and bring me to this pagan culture, that's fine with me. Now, don't think Daniel didn't mourn for his homeland. He did. He was no Superman. But he recognized this is what God wanted for his life. And then another trial came, and another trial. Now we get to this huge trial where he's faced with death. And again, Daniel is just a man of character. He says, God, you are sovereign over the affairs of mankind. You're sovereign over my life. I trust you with this. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but let's just press on together, God, you and me. I trust you. I trust you. So what happens? Verse 11, look at this. Then these men went as a group, there it is again, and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. Now they're running and they're tattletaling on Daniel just like kindergartners. And they go to the king and they say, did you not publish a decree? I can just see them there, you know, playing innocent like they'd forgotten about this whole decree. King, didn't you publish some decree recently? I can't think of what it was. What was it? What was it? Oh, the prayer thing. That's right. Didn't you publish some decree? A decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, would be thrown to the lion's den. Didn't you do that, king? The king answered, the decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. Watch this. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of your exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays, still, he still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. You see, the king loved Daniel. Even though they served different gods, the king saw in Daniel such integrity, such wisdom, that he was, remember, getting ready to promote Daniel to the top man in the kingdom. And now the king realizes that in a moment of pride, he let his ego cause him to make a foolish decision. And his heart was smitten. And he thought, oh no. I was so proud back then, listening to these guys butter me up and flatter me and tell me how good I was. I let my own ego cloud my decision. I didn't seek counsel on this decision. And now, my best man, Daniel, is going to die because of me. Verse 15, then the men went as a group, there it is again, to the king and said to him, remember, O king, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, boy, what a conversation this must have been. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, what a statement from a pagan. May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. I just cannot imagine the moment that King Darius had to put Daniel into that lion's den and turn and walk away, knowing what he had done. Verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles. They would pour like a wax substance into the crack there, and they would press their royal ring into it and seal the spot, and it would harden to make sure that no one could break the seal, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Verse 18, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Verse 19, I love this. You know, kings and queens are supposed to carry themselves very royally. They're never, imagine seeing Queen Elizabeth kick off her high heels and hike up that long skirt and start running around Buckingham Palace. I mean, it's just not a sight you would ever see, but watch what this king does. 19, at the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. Can't you see him running out of the palace, across the grass that's still wet with dew, down the road to the lion's den, running to see if Daniel's God did indeed save him. When he came near to the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? If I was Daniel, I would have waited for about 30 seconds before I replied, just to kind of rub it in a little bit, you know? That's just me. Verse 21, Daniel answered, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because why? He had trusted in his God. Students, let me tell you something. Whether this is going on now in your life or whether it will happen later on in your life, I want to tell you a word that I hope will encourage you. When the people around you who do not share your faith make fun of you and ridicule you for being a Christian, there's something that you may not realize, and I want to share this with you. Secretly, those people do not want to see you cave in to their pressure and become one of them. That's the truth. Secretly, and they will never tell you this, they long to find a person who will stand for something securely in their faith without wavering, without faltering. Why? Remember Ecclesiastes that we looked at a few weeks ago, where it says God has set eternity in the hearts of men? Here's the thing. Every man and woman, every young person on the face of this earth has inside of them something that tugs at them constantly. And most people don't know what it is. There's just something there tugging them towards eternity. There's got to be more to this life, they think, when they lay down at night. Surely this isn't all there is. And if they've never darkened the door of a church building and heard from God's word, they're just trying to figure out, what is this? There's some missing piece in me. There's something that I'm missing. I'm longing for something and I can't find it. But in you, young person, if you're a man and a woman of character, they will connect with that in your life and they'll say, I think that's what I may be missing. I don't know. Maybe it is. And they may tease you and criticize you. I could tell you stories of places that I've worked over the years and the things that have been said to me. I remember many years ago, there was a guy who worked in my office who was just the filthiest, roughest character I have ever known. This guy was relentless on me every day. making fun of me in the office there at 3M, just constantly. And I took it all in good strides with him because I liked the guy. Never had a chance to see him get saved, but I tried to stand my ground in that ungodly culture. Because here's the thing, guys, those people don't want to see you fall. You know why? Because one day, down the road somewhere, when trouble slams into their life, when the hurricane hits them and they have nothing to hold on to, and all the pleasure and all the fun and all the drugs and all the whatever is not satisfying them anymore, who do you think they're going to run to for help? If you cave in to the ungodly culture around you, you'll miss perhaps the greatest opportunity in your life to bring God glory by showing himself strong through you. The king couldn't sleep all night. He had the best bed money could buy. Couldn't sleep at all. Daniel slept like a baby. I wondered if he curled up next to one of those lions and laid his head on the fur, like my kids do with our dog Rusty, you know, just making a pillow out of him. The king couldn't sleep at all. He was troubled. And what did he do? Where's the first place he ran the next morning? He ran to Daniel. Daniel, I've been watching you, man. This God that you serve, I've heard you talk about him. I've seen you pray to him. But now that this storm has hit, has your God been able to save you? Daniel said, King, don't worry about it. God brought me through. He's the real God. And I don't have time to read it, but the remaining verses in chapter 6 are just an incredible turn of events to see how this pagan king was so impacted by Daniel's faith that he took the men who had tried to entrap Daniel and threw them and their families into the lion's den. And the Bible says, before their bodies touched the ground, the lions crushed their bones. Not only that, but you see in the verses after that that the king issues a new decree and says, from now on, everybody is serving Daniel's God. And the king goes into praising God. You can read it there for yourself. I mean, he is just, this pagan starts praising the God of Daniel. How incredible is that to see an unbeliever praising the God that you've been faithful to all along? I'm telling you, young people, it will happen in your life if you stand faithful on what you believe. Let me ask you a key question as we close. Are you the kind of person God could trust enough to put into a severe time of testing because he knows that you will stand firm and bring him glory? Wow. That's a hard question. You see, the Christian life is not all roses and cotton candy and happy choruses. God often puts his children into severe times of testing so that the unbelievers around them will look on and see that person come through that test, through that trial with poise, with character, with faith, and with joy. And their jaws will be hanging open going, what is the deal with this person? And you will have an opportunity to say, no, 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 it's not me. Let me tell you about my God in whom I trust. Daniel refused to compromise in an ungodly culture. This morning, are there any areas in your life that you can think of where perhaps you have been compromising in order to avoid trouble, in order to avoid hardship, in order to avoid embarrassment. Folks, I want to tell you, God is a good God. And even when it seems like He has put us into something that He doesn't know what He's doing, He is still a good God. And He knows what is best for your life. Are you the kind of young man and young woman who will say today, while you're still in your homeland, I'm going to be a man, I'm going to be a woman of character, no matter what comes, whether it's trial or whether it's opportunity, I'm going to stand for God in an ungodly culture. Let's pray. Father, I believe with all my heart that what this world needs right now, more than it needs more Christians, is it needs those of us who are Christians to stand uncompromisingly in every situation without wavering for You, so that the world can truly look on and see God moving in our lives. Lord, I believe if every person on the planet who called himself a Christian were to truly begin living out their faith, I believe it would revolutionize the entire world. Because people want to see someone stand for something. I pray for our young people, especially today, Lord, as they're back now in school, surrounded perhaps some of them by an ungodly culture. I pray, Father, You'd fill them with passion for You and with strength, with purpose, that they would determine to stand for God no matter what comes. And I pray that You would take their lives and use them in tremendous ways for You, that others would see their light shining and would glorify their Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.